If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Had Wendy said something, see something, say something.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody did start looking into Charlie, they probably could have found some information that probably would have led to stopping this before it actually took place. But she didn't say anything. But then you have to go and question, well, did she take him seriously? I mean, this is a question. This is a family that seems to be operating with a lot of hotheads on a lot of things. I mean, when you saw the extremes that Donna would let fly out of her mouth when it came to rage at Dan Markell while he was alive of let's dress the grandkids up in Hitler Youth costumes and things like that. It seems there's not a lot that's off the table of what's going to come out of these people's mouths. Now, do I think that she was actually going to dress them up in Hitler Youth costumes? Well, after the trial, probably.
But before, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think I would have thought that. It's like it's somebody just spouting off a bunch of shit that has not the greatest emotional regulation, and they get their shit off their chest, and then they calm down, and it's back to somewhat sanity. So I could see it being, you know, how do you know when your family's serious about the crazy shit that they say out loud?
Oh, totally. It's a very real question and potential problem because, you know, if you go to the police with that kind of information, you could open up a tremendous can of worms, especially if you have the type of family member who, like you said, it's a bit of a hothead. Sometimes they pop off, they say things they don't mean. We all know people like that. Do we want to subject them to, you know, local and potentially FBI surveillance and getting into their digital devices, looking at their entire private life? You know, that's a hard judgment call to make. And it's hard to determine whether those folks are being serious or not. I did notice that one of the comments, I think, from Jennifer was that this is a very tight-knit family. And so to expect that Wendy had no knowledge of this going on is hard to believe.
I agree. If you were in the DA's chair right now, is there additional evidence that you'd want before taking the risk of charging Wendy Adelson?
Definitely. And here's what I would do. So during the trial, it came out from one of Wendy's boyfriends that Wendy was asking him questions that appeared to be setting him up to frame him. That was his impression.
Yeah.
Questions about where he was that day. My understanding is that a vehicle that was used was substantially similar to the vehicle he had. And so if I'm the DA, I'm interviewing that boyfriend. I'm getting all of the text messages and emails and anything else from Wendy, voicemails, talking about even verbal conversations to see if Wendy was possibly an accessory after the fact to try to conceal this and or mislead the government and obstruct the investigation by considering framing the boyfriend. I'm not sure that there's enough evidence there now, but there is other investigation that could be done.
Do you think that Georgia is sitting on a pile of evidence against Wendy that we just have not yet heard about?
It's possible, but with the amount of time that's gone by, gosh, I would expect them to kind of pull the trigger on that. No pun intended, but yeah. To make a call on it, because it's been like a decade or so, and we've, like you said, we've seen all these other cards drop. I think now would be the time if they had it, but sometimes they really want to dot their I's and cross their T's, and that could be going on as well.
Yeah, I mean, it makes. I mean, they waited a little bit for Donna, but they kind of Donna pushed their hand with going to try and flee the country. If we look back on it retrospectively, how much longer do you think it would have taken before they charged Donna had she not tried to run?
You know, that alleged attempt to flee the jurisdiction and go to a non-extraditable country like Vietnam, which means if Donna had made it to Vietnam and they charged her, Vietnam is not sending her back. They would have to take other measures to try to procure her presence. And that consciousness of guilt, those nefarious actions, according to the government, I think really were sort of the candle on top of the cake there. But they still had the paper trail. They still had the bump, the conversations between Donna and the agent, conversations between Donna and Charlie. I think they had enough to go forward even without that. So I think it was probably imminent, and that's probably why Donna tried to skedaddle.
Is there any benefit to waiting to charge Wendy if that were going to happen? Is there any benefit to sitting and waiting versus filing charges today?
There can be, you know, you're developing additional evidence, like in the trial, there was additional evidence that came out that wasn't necessarily publicly available that implicated Wendy. And so you have that as sworn testimony from the boyfriend, sworn testimony from others. You're just building, you're building and building and building. And the more you build, sometimes the stronger the case is, sometimes not.
Okay. Interesting.
Obviously I should say again, Wendy's never been charged with anything. She's innocent. I'm not Correct. Saying she has anything to do with this, all speculation here, but if let's say Wendy did have something to do with this, and I'm not saying she's the one who ordered it, because I don't think she was, but let's just say she has some sort of involvement. We don't know the level as to which, whether it was after the fact as an accessory, whether she did know before or didn't, but she had some sort of knowledge that is not coming out. Who should Wendy be more afraid of right now, the DA or Mom and Charlie behind bars, who may have some incentive to say some things about Wendy for some sort of preferential treatment or some sort of benefit on their side?
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, there can be divisions within a family as these prosecutions and convictions are handed down. You know, we look at Ghislaine Maxwell and her partner Epstein was dead at the time, but she had no qualms about laying out all the dirt, at least from her sort of colored perspective, about what happened against that person to try to gain a benefit for herself while she's sitting behind bars. Donna and Charlie have those same motivations, those same incentives, at least, and certainly might want to better their position by providing information. On top of that, I think Wendy, you know, doesn't want any heat from the Latin Kings, who were the killers in this. So I think that she has a number of possible enemies all around.
What's the best move for Wendy right now? I mean, because she's damned if she does, she's damned if she doesn't. If you have not been charged with anything, your family has literally imploded on itself. You're trying to live your life, your best life, as best you can after all this, and say you had nothing to do with any of this. Is there anything, I mean, anything that's stopping Wendy right now from getting the hell out of Dodge, changing her name, and starting over? Not because she's guilty, but just to escape the hellscape that her family has created for her. It would look extremely suspicious right now, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it is.
Yeah, Tony, good points, because I think there are two ways that Wendy could go with this. One is, like you said, she could lay low, kind of disappear, change her name. Heck, some people even change their appearance, change her career, change her whole life, and move to a different locale where you're lesser known. The other route she could consider, if she wanted, is to blow this up, to write a book, to at least try to find some kind of silver lining to capitalize on the suffering to which she has been subjected for a decade. You know, especially with social media and alternative distribution, you don't need the same publishing house that all the books are published on anymore. She could go that route, too. And that could be a source of vindication, assuming that she had nothing to do with this.
Would there be some risks involved there? I mean, if you're going to go and try and do this tell-all, even if you had nothing to do with it, wouldn't there be some risk involved of your words being misconstrued or somebody saying, well, because you said this, it must mean that? And would that further open up the chances of being charged if you had nothing to do with it, just because you're going to go down that road of media and trying to share your story? I feel like that could be, I don't know, that could be a double-edged sword, although I could, you'd have to really walk that tightrope carefully, I would think.
There are big risks with it, no question about it. You know, we look at Hunter Biden, President Biden's son, and he wrote this sort of tell-all, and in it he talks openly about his drug issues. And the government saw that and said, whoa, you had these drug issues when you applied for a concealed carry permit and said you didn't have any drug issues. That's a federal crime and a serious one. So there, you know, risks abound if you go that route. It's a potentially high payoff monetarily and otherwise, but potentially high risk as well.
Gosh.
Yeah.
If she were your client and she came to you, and let's say she's innocent, let's say she has nothing to do with this and you believe that she has nothing to do with this. Eric, I should have a wig and I could play the role of Wendy. I'll get that. I'll get that prop next time.
You want me to get some Botox and eyebrow lift? Because I could do that for tomorrow.
Eric, I don't know what to do. Danny's gone. The kids are upset. What the fuck was their name for Danny? What was the horrible name they
Jibbers.
Used? Jibbers. I just got to get away from all this Jibbers controversy. What do I do? What should I do? What do you say as the attorney?
Yeah, first I would say, that's too scary. but then I would say, it's in her best legal interest to lay low. Even if there is some potential monetary payout with doing a tell-all book, her best legal interest, the most cautious approach would be to lay low and to try to move on and to have your family move on from this horrific set of circumstances that has befallen this family for years now.
We'll see if she takes any sort of advice like that. They seem to be kind of self-serving folks, but we'll find out. Well, not necessarily that the self-serving ever goes in their interest. They think they're lining up for all the great toppings at the yogurt bar. Then, oops, surprise, all the good stuff's gone. You're left with boba, motherfuckers. I don't know how I came up with that one, but I just did.
You've brought up the yogurt bar many times. Where are you going that you're getting a place that you can
Have
get
I brought up yogurt bars Michael. Before? Have I really?
No.
I didn't even realize that.
Is this a thing?
I don't particularly go to them very frequently. Harper asks.
You've brought this up on numerous occasions. Sorry, Eric, for the diversion. But
no, I wasn't sure if he'd been scorned by some yogurt bar.
Obviously, yes.
I need to know where this is because it sounds lovely.
It sounds like a bad TCBY incident now, doesn't it? TCBY, mother.
God, I missed that.
I'm kidding. We have one. We have a TCBY.
Oh, it's screw you. Really? Do you? Seriously?
Yes, we really, really do. Yes. And there's a seafood restaurant right next door where sometimes, if you're lucky, on Thursdays, they add cod to the toppings of the the frozen yogurt. So in case you want to get some of that triple chocolate, you can add crispy cod. It's it sounds strange. It's a lovely combination. I'm telling you, everybody.
I just remember I think it was like a white chocolate mousse at TCBY. Does that sound right?
I have no idea.
Just
I've been there
off
like
the
once.
Charts amazing. I would give anything to have that in front of me right now.
With cod. Trout is Fridays, by the way.
Friday fish fry in Wisconsin. It's what we do.
Yeah, it's great on yogurt. It really is. Eric Faddis, as always, thank you so much for coming on to discuss the Adelsons and cod on yogurt.
We'll get that on another podcast.
Yeah, go get yourself a cup. Don't be stingy. Don't be stingy. Thank you, Eric.
Yum. Looking forward.
right. If you have a thought on any of the things we talked about today, let us know in the comments section on YouTube. Please do go there and leave us your thoughts, and be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of the coverage of the cases that we bring to you right here every single day on the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. All right. I think that's wrapping us up. Until next time, for Todd and Stacy and Eric, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.